This is the partner tape for Unconditional Love Fellowship for this month of March 2017. The Lord be with you all. And I want to begin by sharing very quickly what is coming up in the next very few weeks in very early spring. And that is, we are calling it the Impact Bible Courses, which will be every Wednesday night. Well, let me retract that. Not every Wednesday night, but in terms of a course, it will be on a Wednesday night at 7:30 Central Time right here in San Antonio. And we will be studying together through the book of Philippians, verse by verse. And it will be, and this is the big point, it will be live streamed. That is, you can actually join the conversation from your computer and you will be with us real time and we shall look at this book together. Now, what are we going to do? I want you to get out of your mind anything you might think of in terms of a regular Bible school. We're not training pastors here. We are, in fact, seeking to get inside the early church, the people who first heard that epistle to the Philippians read to them, the very first ones to whom it was written. And it contained people of every kind, from business people to housewives and workers in factory, even slaves, and of course the kids at school. All of those persons were the first to receive it, including what today we would call full-time ministers. And so we certainly invite Bible students, we invite pastors, but this is for the ordinary, everyday person who wants to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking from this epistle to the Philippians. And so as we come to it, we're not merely looking for facts. We are seeking to know what the Holy Spirit is saying to our heart. And therefore, if you want to be part of this, it is to be a commitment to being taught by the Spirit, to listen to what the Spirit is saying and to do it in life. It will be an hour long approximately on a Wednesday night, and it will be ideal for you personally as you want to get into a book of the Bible and hear what God said to the original people and now to you today. But also it is ideal for home Bible study groups who can listen to this together, live stream it with us, and then together discover the truth of what it's all about. There is a cost, but let me put it like this. there's been actually a lot over the last number of years. They come and they say, would I lay hands on them so that they could receive everything that the Spirit has taught me? And you know, I have to laugh at that, because everything that I am saying to you today, let alone what I'll be saying on those Wednesday nights, hear me very carefully. It has taken nearly 70 years of my life, in which times I have learned not by book. If we're talking academics, I don't have any of that kind of education. Not by choice, but that's the way it worked out. And I have been taught by the Spirit, which means in everything that I have learned, it has been in the experience of life, some of it very costly. Sometimes it seems cutting me to the very heart, but out of it I come with this authority, this revelation, this knowing. And I say it very carefully that what I am giving, this teaching, is actually priceless. And I weigh that word very carefully. You couldn't really pay me or pay the ministry for everything that has gone into it. And so when we charge, it is, and I say with tongue in cheek, you're paying shipping and handling. The actual stuff is free. And so there will be a shipping and handling charge, which we will announce by and by. It will not be expensive. And so I say this to you, there is no date. Do not call the office asking. Please, please. We'll let you know. We'll let you know very timely when this is going to be. It will not be very long. We're almost there, but we're not free yet to give a date. And so it's just to arouse you, awaken you to understand what's coming and how you can be involved in that. Okay, now I want to read a scripture which is actually, I said there in the last few minutes that this is all about the Holy Spirit teaching. What do I really mean by that? That's what I want to share with you in this partner sharing. And in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, and in verse 25, it's that conversation that Jesus had immediately prior to his sufferings and then his death and resurrection. He says, verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." That's very important. He has said, "I am now with you, eyeball to eyeball, sitting across the table. I'm with you." But he's already told them he's leaving. That with you relationship is coming to an end. And something which he describes as far greater, far more glorious, infinitely better for us is going to begin, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So he says, I'm with you right now. I'm leaving, and my leaving will be infinitely better for you because the Holy Spirit is going to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you, and I say this very carefully, as Jesus in his flesh, human, living with us, could not do. He said, there are many things I would love to share, but I cannot. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he is going to share with your heart, heart of God to heart of you. And the Holy Spirit, he will be your teacher, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. Now, whenever the Holy Spirit is described as teaching, which is all through the New Testament, he's always described with a word. It's translated in our Bibles as knowledge. He gives knowledge. But the word in the exactness of the language of the Bible, the Greek, it's a personal knowledge. It's a knowledge gained by experience. That is, it's not a rumor. It's not something people told you about. But rather, it is a knowledge that is infused into you. It becomes your very own. And you can observe that knowledge and know that you know. That's how the Holy Spirit always teaches. He never plays around with academics. You know, that stuff where you learn things and then have tests. You know, and you have those silly papers of true and false and it's all academic. The Holy Spirit has no part in that. The Holy Spirit is teaching you life. The Holy Spirit is teaching you the way of life. That's what he does. He brings to us the very person of Jesus. Shall I say also that the language of the Bible, let alone the New Testament, it is an earthly language, very, very definitely an earthly language, but it attempts through the Holy Spirit to speak of heavenly, shall I say, triune God realities. And that sometimes takes us out of our brain because we're going where academically and going to school and learning everything that the natural mind can learn has never been there. And I mean never been there. In fact, the word that is used here concerning the Holy Spirit, he shall guide you into all truth. Okay, here it says he'll teach you, bring things to remembrance. Then there's the other verse that says he will guide you into truth. And that word guide, as I've pointed out before, I believe, it means to guide someone into hitherto unknown territory. It's very much as if you were in jungles where there's been no maps and you have a local guide who knows it like the back of his hand, and he's leading you, guiding you into what to you is unknown territory. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit does. So this is the ride, the adventurous ride that we're on. We're going to not only learn facts of Scripture, but we are going to learn it in a fashion that the Holy Spirit teaches and does things that the natural mind cannot understand, especially if you are from the West. There are parts of the world that still use these languages that they understand what I'm about to say much better. But certainly in the West, we do not. We are a bunch of academics. We are the people who put such amazing worth upon knowing about and knowing trivia and passing all the silly little tests. And without ever knowing with our heart. So he links with his teaching this word, remember. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Now, I know we have talked about this before, but I want to zero in on it because in these last hours, actually, it has come very much alive to me in a fresh way. Remember, this word has absolutely nothing to do with the way in which we here in the West both think about remembering and actually do remembering. Nothing to do with that. So we have to leave that aside. Remember, if you are aware of your Bible, you go through the whole Bible, and do you see how many times this word is used? It's amazing. It's over and over and over again. It says that God remembered. God remembered this one. God remembered that. God remembered his covenant. God remembered, remembered, remembered. It's pepper and salted, not only through the Psalms, where you might expect such words, but even back in the historical books, how he dealt with different people, it says he remembered. And of course, when I was first reading my Bible, I thought that was a suggestion that God had forgotten and now he's remembering, which certainly to a Western reader, that would be what it sounds like. It doesn't mean that. Please, it doesn't mean that. But also alongside of all those words, you have us remembering. In fact, we are commanded to remember on many occasions. Like, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's just one of the Old Testament statements concerning this word. But it goes on all through the Scripture. God remembers, we remember. You might say that this word, remember, is where God and man come together. And the remembrance is the place of meeting. What is this word? This word, remember, in the Scripture, The way the people of the Bible understood when they said this word, it was to bring into this present moment something that happened in the past. And it doesn't matter how long in the past or how far removed in terms of place, time, space, history, it doesn't matter. Something happened in the past. And something was said in the past. Certain promises and covenants were made in the past. And now, to remember means we bring that event, that spoken word, out from the past. And we bring it into this present moment, that it might be released into this present moment. And that we might be connected vitally, dynamically, to that event which is now released into this hour in which I live and stand. And all of the energies and all of the promises, all of the powers that were resident in that event are released into this present moment. So it isn't that I go back with my somewhat faulty memory and try and think about it. And of course, I'm going to say all of these things we're talking about, these events, they are the God events that have taken place, salvation events, redemption events. And I could toss out all that God did and said with Abraham, all that God did and said in terms of bringing Israel out of Egypt and the Red Sea, and all his covenants through the ages were with David and within the Psalms, all that his statements are, the great promises that he gave in days of Isaiah. You realize that was now what? Well, we're talking 3,000 years ago, in 2,700 years ago. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, that's a long time ago. And then you come to the event of all events that sums up all the others. In the incarnation, God became flesh, lived the life of the God-man, and then offered himself in suffering and death and burial, and then rose out of death, ascension, and he who is the bearer of the Spirit gives the Spirit. That's how we mark our date, isn't it? 2017, well, here or there, that's about right. That was a long time ago, and it's back there in history. And there it stays for many people. It's a point in history. It's an event back there. To remember means that all those events are brought into my present moment. So it ceases to be an historical event, even though, and let me emphasize this, it is an historical event. Jesus is a person of our history. He lived within the tick-tock of the clock. He lived in the time of dates on calendar. Oh yes, historical. Abraham is an historical person, and so on. But I can bring all that happened, all that was said, all that was promised, into my present moment to fill my present day. And for me to live in the powers and the energies of those events. So it becomes my present history, not some remote historical thing. Do you understand? So God acted, God said, God did at one point in history. But now, and of course, in that one time in history, he spoke to a very specific historical audience. But now, in this word remember, it means that is not something I look and drool at and say, I wish I had been there. Wish I'd been there. No. I think also I might have referenced before, it had a tremendous effect on me. We were taken a tour of people in Israel, and we were in the Galilee. A bunch of, I suppose, 50 people with us. And we were there in Capernaum. And the synagogue where Jesus actually went, I mean, they've unearthed it right down to the paving stones. And of course, yes, it's true. On those paving stones trod the sandaled feet of Jesus, the Son of God. It's quite a thing, see. Well, there were people there, lots of people there. And there were some, and I mean, well, from where I'm coming from, it was so sad. They were on their knees and they were rubbing the tiles as if to get some of the holy magic, shall I say, into their clothes. And another person stood there and says, oh, if only I could have been there at that time. And at that point, I had to stop this nonsense. And I said, but Jesus said it was in gloriously better that the Holy Spirit had come. And the Holy Spirit transcends time. He transcends space. And all the power and energy, all the personal glory of Jesus, the Son of God, is now brought into my life today. It's not a matter of I wish I'd been at that point of history, because that Jesus is brought into our lives today. That's this word, remember. You're bringing the past right into this living moment. And so I am in the immediate presence of what God was doing back there. There's no was to it. He's the is God. He's the living God, present to all times and all spaces, places. And the Holy Spirit makes this remembering happen. This word remember, then I say again, is the word that binds the living God, the now God, with us humans in a beautiful union, a mutuality. God remembers, that is, we are never absent from Him. He remembers us, that is, we are known individually to God in all times and all places. So that right at this moment, I know that I am known by God the Father through God the Son, because the Holy Spirit, I know that. But I also know that at that same micro moment, you know that too. You know that. And you know that you are known by the Father. You know that you are in Christ in the Holy Spirit. Even though some of you are removed from where I'm standing by a long way. But you know that. Why? Because of this word. You are remembered. God knows you. And He knows you in His present. And we know Him. And in that mutual remembering. Now that's what this word is about. Each one of us are present. That's the big word here. You're present to Him. So you see, a Christian can never say, you know, God up there. And I've heard some say, the man upstairs, dear Lord, you're a million miles from what the revelation of the gospel is. When I think of God, I think of Him, yes, up in the sense of the God beyond words. But also I think of Him as He who dwells within me. I couldn't be closer. I couldn't be more present. I sleep there. I wake there. I live there. I fun there. I pleasure there. I study there. I work there. Right? That's why we say the Lord be with you, which is old English. We really today should say the Lord is with you. He is. It's a statement of this remembering. And of course, when we say remember, the word in the Bible means action. Because I've remembered the past with all its energies and powers into this present moment, I now act, do, behave, think, imagine in the light of that. Because this is truth. What God said there and there, what He did there, is now. That's the God in whom I now live and move and have my being. Therefore, I look at my life through, shall I say, the lens of remember. But I'm not a poor lonely soul looking back at something that happened, but rather I am made alive by the reality that all that happened is now in this moment, you see. Well, I think I've said plenty that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It certainly is the work of the Holy Spirit. So that means you don't have to try to make this happen. You know what I mean? You don't have to work up feelings of this happening. Rather, we are dependent, because some people are scared spitless of that we can't do anything to make this happen. No, you can't. So get used to that. But, see, the Holy Spirit is not someone who acts on a whim. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't like humans who, unless you know the person very well, you can never really be sure about them. Are they always going to be the same? Are they always going to bring their word through to fulfillment? When you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, he's called the Holy Spirit of Truth, which means that there cannot be any time, any age in which the Holy Spirit is other than that. So, yes, I cannot make this happen, but I recognize and expect to the point of absolute rest and knowing that this the Holy Spirit will do. I say again, he's the living God. Therefore, he is present, alive to all times. He's present and alive to all places, in all points, in all history. And the Holy Spirit is that living God who now is immediate to us, opening the eyes of our heart, unstopping our inner ears, that we might see and hear and know that what we call was in the Holy Spirit is. We talked a moment ago about this Bible courses that we're going to begin, and that they're live streamed. I don't fully understand. I'm not a scientist. But the fact is that here we are sitting in an historical place. That is, it's a place within history, and there are people here within history, and I'm here in this point at a certain time. And yet, immediately, simultaneously, you can be sitting in Australia and you are one with us. I mean, this is not a DVD. This is I speak here and you hear and see in New Zealand or in Zimbabwe or South Africa or Peru or Ecuador or Canada or New York or California. Do you understand me? Well, you know, the human race is Johnny come lately getting there, but that is a bumbling human pointer to what I'm talking about. That there is a divine live stream, that where God is, I am, and where I am, he is. And what he said 2,000 years ago, the 2,000 is just wiped out, and he's saying it now, here, to my heart, using my name, speaking to me his promises. In this remembering, sometimes there is symbol involved, as I'll point out in a moment. Sometimes. And as we do the symbol, so the remembrance opens up. At other times, there was song involved. And as one sang of this truth that God is and is now, then the heavens opened in this remembrance. But the fact is, I can't, I say again, I can't make it happen, I can't make it up. But what we come with anticipation, because if you do the symbol without the anticipation, the expectancy, and I mean that dancing expectancy, that attitude that the Holy Spirit has bridged all gaps, this is a holy time warp. This is transcending us, and we're now beyond time, space, and history, and he is speaking to us that which, if we didn't understand it, we would say, but that was a long time ago. So we don't come with that nervous religious look on our face, and I wonder if God's going to show up and all that nonsense. No, this is just knowing. You know, you sit down with a cup of coffee and you know that you are in the presence of the Holy Trinity. And you know that if need be, he'll speak directly in your heart to your present circumstances. You know that as you open the scripture, the Holy Spirit will light up parts of it that will make you never the same again. You know that. So I say we come to this with this anticipation, this expectancy. And that expectancy I can only liken to that of a little child that believes every word that's been said and now comes with that dance in the eye on tiptoe waiting to experience this. See, Paul on one occasion really laid this out. And he does all through his letters, but especially in 1 Corinthians 2. It really deserves a whole hour somewhere to talk about. But let me quickly read through at least some of it. He's saying, when he came to Corinth, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. He said, I didn't depend on being schooled in rhetoric and communication. In fact, he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling in terms of you guys are a lot more educated than me. And I'm coming to you with this message that does not make sense to human logic. He says, my message, my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. So he said, when I spoke of Jesus Christ and him crucified, I was not speaking of a mere historical event, but the Holy Spirit actually took my words and made that the living reality in your heart and about you. So you see, he says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age. It doesn't belong to the rulers of this age. We speak God's wisdom. And it's a mystery. It's a hidden wisdom. It's a wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood. If they'd understood it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. So that's why it's written, and he quotes from Isaiah, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, is not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed those things. Just a minute. He's saying all this that God promised in Isaiah and then came to happen in Jesus, in his death, resurrection, ascension, and it's all beyond the comprehension of man's heart or hopes or dreams or imaginations. What God has done and what God has prepared for those who love him, it's beyond me, naturally speaking. But he said to us, God revealed these things through the Spirit. Well, what about this Holy Spirit? Well, he searches all things, even the depths of God. Then he says in verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? He says it's your spirit who knows who you are. Makes sense, doesn't it? I know, my spirit knows who I am. My spirit, I know my thoughts, my intentions, my imaginations, my hopes, my dreams, my spirit. Okay. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit, who is present to you, who is in you and opening your eyes and heart, he is God from the very depths of God. The Holy Spirit is God who shares the thoughts of God. And so the very thoughts of God, the imaginations of God, come to us in the Holy Spirit. He is God sharing the very mind of God. He says, we have received not the spirit of this world. Oh, no, no, it's got nothing to do with this. But we have received the Spirit who is from, out from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit brings these things and presents them into our heart. Things which we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Holy Spirit. So the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, cannot understand them. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit, this isn't theory. The Holy Spirit is doing this right now to you. He's speaking this. He's making the history of God's action in time and space and history, but he's bringing it into your heart, and he's assuring you, he's speaking into your knowing that this is yours. All that Jesus is, the purpose of the Father that he revealed, all that he did in coming into our human, all that he did in his sufferings and death and resurrection, makes that real to us. Not as, well, now 2,000 years ago that there was this, no. But I can look, because of the Holy Spirit, my heart can look into the heart of God and hear him say, I love you, gave myself for you. You understand? He said the natural man can't grasp it. That's religion. See, religion is the way the natural man tries to understand God. And so the natural man talks about God without any reference to the Holy Spirit. Actually, that's the first thing you know you're hitting religion, when you end up with a group of people that talk Bible but give no place to the Holy Spirit. You're in dangerous ground, because you're dealing with academics there. You're dealing with brains trying to fathom God. Whoa, no, religion. And so they engage in the opposite word, which again is all through Scripture, forget. Forget. And forget has nothing to do with amnesia. Forget is the flip side of this word remember. So it means to leave the actions of God, the events of his saving power and redemption, all his promises that he has made. We leave them locked up in the history, the date, the time when he said them. So indeed, suddenly, yes, it's way back there. It's ancient history. And so that it's never released. It's never accessed in my today. It's left there in the day in which it was spoken. And so such persons who would claimed to be religious Christians, I suppose. They prod at these events of God. They prod at Jesus to, like as a dead corpse, and they talk about it with no connection to it whatsoever, because it's history, and they're just now dissecting history, and they're saying this. There's a whole bunch of characters out there that have taken upon themselves to decide what Jesus said and what he didn't say. And so they'll go through the Gospels with their blue pencil and mark off, actually, most of the Gospel and say that was all made up. Jesus didn't say that. We've determined. We've gone into ancient history and we've determined he got this from here and that from there. And that, in the Bible, is the word forget. That is, you've left it back there as a piece of history with no relationship to my present moment. I suppose you would say that forgetting is it's having a photograph album, you know? And some of those photographs are pretty brown by now, tattered at the edges. And you turn the pages. That reminds me of going to some churches. You just turn the pages of the photographs and you say, boy, I wish those people were still here. But of course they're not here, are they? All we got is a photograph. And all we can do is talk about what they did and wasn't it wonderful when, but it's not here now. I suppose we could have the church of the first scrapbook. You know, you've got all this stuff, it happened, but that was a long time ago. And all it can do is bring up wistful, sentimental memories. Of course, there's the addendum to that maybe all is not lost. If we really get our act together, if we can believe whatever they believed back there, if we can really do something to deserve God's action, he might do it again. You see, still nothing to do with that. That's just sort of, he did it. But maybe if we get it really right, he'll do something again. And so into the church came this word revival. It's a strange word, revival. I mean, vive is a Latin word for life, and so re means to get life going again. So the word revival assumes that the church is in a state of disconnection from God. That's the assumption, or you wouldn't use that word. It means that the normal for a believer is failure. But we're going to have a meeting, you see. And in the meeting, hopefully your old corpse of a life will get revived. Sad state of affairs, especially when most churches these days seem to have a revival to start the year and a revival just when the year's finishing. And in between time, maybe get together for a summer camp or something. All with the idea we're half dead and we've just got to keep on being prodded into life. That's a far cry from what I'm talking about, where you are living in God and God is living in you and you've transcended time and space and everything he's done, he now is in you through the Holy Spirit. That turns the church into a sort of ineffective emergency room. Everybody's half dead there, and some are in the process of dying, and there's these alleged leaders dancing around wondering how they can keep them alive, because they don't know that the whole secret to everything we talk about within the gospel and Christianity is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So we're totally dependent on the Spirit for him to give us. And we don't, I've got to say this again, you don't try to make it happen. There's no formula. You don't get, you know, evangelist XYZ to lay hands on you and zap you out of your mind and hopefully that will make it work. No, this happens at the beautifully oddest times. It seems that God has spoken the full events of his salvation and redemption most mightily in me, standing in line at the grocery store, or woken up in the middle of the night, or as I just relax in him, enjoying a coffee, you see. And then the Holy Spirit, and you can't catch him. It isn't that, well, here I am, and then, okay, bam, some, no. He's so gentle. You suddenly realize you're in the middle of it. You're there, and the Word of God is being spoken. I said, when did this begin? I wasn't here 10 minutes ago, and he's speaking within. Look, this takes place when a person preaches. If you're a preacher and you prepare a nice 3-point sermon and get up and try and make a go of it and try and hope that someone will listen to you, oh, please, understand only the Holy Spirit can connect the message to you and then the message through you to the people. Every time we get together, whether the audience is 1-on-1 or 1-on-10,000, it's an event in the Holy Spirit. He's the one who makes that happen. Paul says, I came to you not with words that are going to, you know, make your mind bend. He says, I came to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Look, baptism is this. Boy, I wish I had another 3 hours on that one. But baptism, what is baptism? And much of religion doesn't have a clue. It's just something, you know, slosh water at people and then you're in. But no, baptism is a God-given symbol that conveys what it symbolizes. And that act remembers you into the finished work of Christ. And so in baptism, you are playing it out. Yes, you see what I said? You're doing the symbol, but in total anticipation of the Holy Spirit's action. So Romans 6, read it for yourself. When you were baptized, you were plunged into the death of Christ and raised with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 says that you were raised with Christ. And chapter 2 says you were ascended with Christ and you're seated with Christ in the heavenly dimension. That's a far cry from giving the simple historical facts of the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It says that was remembered into your life to the point where you were actually crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Christ lives in you. That's a remembrance, you see. That's a remembrance. And of course, how do I live? I live my life by remembering Jesus Christ in his ascension glory, living in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, I will come and dwell in you. In fact, he said that both Father and Son through the Holy Spirit would come and live inside of you. See, that wasn't said in the upper room only. The Holy Spirit brings that into 2017 and snuggles into your heart. That's Jesus looking into your face saying, I abide in you, abide in me, and we live this life one, yet two together. That's remembering. When we celebrate the Holy Communion, the Eucharist, that actually the word is used. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, which means that it's not just mechanical. It's not just a piece of bread and wine. There is the action of the Holy Spirit that we are actually feeding upon the risen, glorified Jesus. And he is being celebrated as being our very life. I tell you another one, the name of Jesus. We use that expression. We lay hands upon the sick when we pray. But you see, actually, that's this. It's a phrase of remembrance that we are saying that we're doing this, but in our hands and in our vocal cords and voice, Jesus Christ is still laying hands on the sick. It's in his name, his authority. But it is not, and I've heard this said many times, that we sort of had the power of attorney. Well, that's up to a point, I suppose. But power of attorney means the person is long gone, And you are left all by your little lonesome to act in their name. Well, that's I suppose if you believe that God disappeared into the clouds and that's the end of that, now you're left, then you've got the power of attorney. But the name of Jesus means he is immediately present to you and in you through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you act in his name, he is acting in you. You are living from his power, his strength, his wisdom. For me to live is Christ. And when you pray, you have joined with Jesus in his prayers. And the Holy Spirit, says Romans 8, enables you to do that. Well, I keep going. Religion can't worship. Of course it can't worship, because to worship you have to be present to the very person of God in Christ. You join that great throng in Revelation 5, myriads of myriads, 10,000 times 10,000, and they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." And as I said that, though you can't see it, but I raised my hands. That's the symbol. I raised my hands, and the Holy Spirit makes that the reality within us. And it's not just something written in Revelation 5. It's not something written in the Psalms. It's here. It's now. I could say so much more about this. I'm hesitant because I don't have time to expound on it. But let me just throw it out. Some of you think maybe this is crazy anyway, so let's add to the craze. That we can... Remember, you see, using the word as we use it in English, you can't say this, but if you've got what I'm trying to say as a definition of this word, we can remember the greatness of God's word, his promises, into our past. Think about this. Things happened in your past, and at the time... You were broken and wept and felt your world had fallen apart. But now, because the Holy Spirit has healed you and has shown you that he was actually there and actually overcame the abuse and has brought you to this present moment, and therefore that event takes on a different light now. And therefore I can remember into that event the triumph of Jesus, and remember into that event his healing power that can heal our mind and heal our memories and come into our deepest emotions with his healing balm of love. And I can actually bring the joy of God into that past event. And recognize, I know I felt so deeply broken at that time, but looking back, I realize the Lord was with, the Lord never left, the Lord never forsook, and walked me through it and out of it, and here I am. And so I can now joy in that past event, because I've remembered into it the truth. Does that make any sense? Okay, let's try this one. I can remember the future. That sounds daft to anyone speaking English. But in this heavenly dimension, you remember the future. The second coming is not something stuck on the end of life, but rather the triumph of Jesus is made known to us by the Spirit here and now. So in that sense, all the event of the second coming, as it is in the Bible, I don't mean all that political commentary from dislodged Bible verses. I mean Jesus revealed in his glory as God the Son, Son of Man. I already tasted that. In fact, the Holy Spirit is called the guarantee. He's called the down payment on that eternal future. I'm enjoying that now. Well, there it is. And let me end where I started, that coming together for these Impact Bible courses, we are seeking, and not, how can I put it, not with doubt in mind. When I say seeking, I mean with absolute certainty that as we teach, the Holy Spirit causes that to be the living Word of God to you. Now, not something that drips with ancient age, not a brown old photograph of some characters in Philippi that got a strange letter. No, I mean right where you are, the Holy Spirit speaking that word into your life so that you begin to live in the same strength and power that those earliest believers lived. Well, there it is. That's what this Christian life is all about. I want to thank every one of you yet again for your gifts. And again, and I have to say this, those of you that have sent special gifts, we thank you. We really thank you. With the expenses of having the studio in San Antonio that enables us to do these wonderful things, that has added $5,000 a month. When you add in the rent of the place and then the special security for the cameras and everything else. And so your special gifts, and what I love is when you send a note or a phone call to say, the Holy Spirit was telling me you needed something special. Could you tell me what it is? And sure enough, I mean, they some of those phone calls, some of those letters are on the very day that we've discussed it in the morning. And you heard the voice of God, and that is so wonderful. And for those who give so faithfully every month, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the blessing of God bless you and prosper you so that you may continue in this life of love giving. And so I promise you that you will get to know of these future events, and I trust we shall be together in those events as they begin to unfold. And so the Lord himself now bless you. The Lord himself keep you. The Lord himself open the eyes of your understanding that you might live in his now. Amen.